creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On this episode of Culture Click, we went to Whitewater State Park to learn how to make maple syrup. Park naturalist Jeremy Darst walked us through the process from tapping the trees to boiling the sap down into delicious maple syrup. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Jeremy Darst on Culture Click. I'm here with Jeremy Darst, park naturalist at Whitewater State Park. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
Good, good. Thanks for being on our show. How did you learn how to make maple syrup?
Well, from another naturalist a long time ago, actually. There's a county park near Rochester called Oxbow, and I did that as a young guy and did tapping there, and I think they still do those programs, so I got kind of hooked into that passion way back when.
Right. Okay, so you've been doing it for quite some time then.
I definitely took a break for a while, but yeah, since I've been working as a naturalist, this is a yearly occurrence, which I actually really look forward to every single year.
Cool. Yeah, it was a great presentation. Very informative.
I want you to be able to go into a woods that doesn't have buckets on it already and be able to find the right tree. So that's going to be our first job. I'm going to have you find a maple tree that we haven't tapped. So let's see if we can find it. Wait a minute. Did this leaf come from right here?
Yeah.
That leaf and that leaf, do they look similar?
Yep.
We did it. This is a mature sugar bush. We've been tapping here for years. So the other thing that's going to be true about a previously tapped tree is it's a lot like you. If you get a cut, what could you end up with?
Scar.
So they'll be scarring from the previous tap. So if I wanted to triple check this, I can look to see, are there any round scars on this tree?
Oh, yeah.
We've done this one before. This is an untapped maple tree. We have success. And this is a sugar maple, so this is good. This is the highest content tree.
Does tapping the tree hurt the tree at all?
Not if you do it right. I always kind of try to look at it like giving blood. You wouldn't take a lot of blood from a small child. You wouldn't take a lot from a small tree. But if you get to adult size, you can safely take it without really causing any harm. So it's all knowing about how many taps to put in, and you won't cause the tree any permanent damage.
Okay.
So we gotta put a hole in this thing. Are you willing to find out where?
Sure.
All right, let's find out. Now, can I tell you something about you that you didn't know? You're a tree vampire. Did you know that? Because guess what we're about to do?
What?
We're about to take the blood from this tree, the sap, that it uses to make itself grow, and we're going to take a little bit of that, and then we're going to turn it into something that we can eat. So we kind of are being tree vampires as we come in here and we process this. Now, vampires drink blood out of people and they drink sap out of trees. So things to consider. This might be the world's best place. I'm just going to give you a little bit more information. So if you were going to tap this at home, you'd know where on the tree you want to do it. So if I was going to go to the hospital, perfect, we'll just leave it right there. I'll take this apart. And I was going to give blood at the hospital. They would draw my blood out. Would they put it into a big scar? I've got a scar right there from when I'm a little kid that burned my hand. Would they take blood from my scar? No, it's all clogged up. So on a tree, you don't want to take blood from a scar because it's all clogged up. The sap won't flow there. So the thing I'm going to have you check is I want you to see, are there any of these brown scars close to where you chose?
No.
Good, 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 good.
How long does the entire process take, like from when you start tapping the trees to when you actually get some syrup?
Well, that really depends on how you take it through the end. I could collect sap and boil it down in a single day. And if it's warm enough out where I would have to worry about a molding and I can't refrigerate it, I would want to do that. For us, because we do refrigerate it and we boil over a long amount of time, we normally don't finish boiling until the end of the month. So we'll kind of continuously add until the end. But it really varies.
Daily collections can be important. And the reason that you're going to collect this every day is that even though it's a tiny amount, it's 2-3% sugar, that's enough that if you don't collect it and it's warm out, it will spoil, which means you have to dump it away. So it's one of those things that when you're planning how many taps you're going to do, you're going to either have to be able to store what you collect and refrigerate it, or you're going to have to boil it right away to get it into the syrup process. So there's a little bit of pre-planning involved here.
Your end product will change a lot depending on how much and how quickly you boil your stuff. So you can be sweeter and lighter versus darker and more molasses-y.
Okay, so it depends on how much time you want to put into it, huh?
Yep, and if you really want that particular flavor, if you really want it to be sweet, then you're going to make it happen quickly. Or if you really kind of like what we have here, where it's a little bit more molasses-y, then you would cook it longer like we do.
Okay. It seems that making maple syrup's a winter activity. Is that the only time that trees produce sap, or can you do it other times?
It's really kind of the end of winter activity, so I kind of like to say it's your spring introduction. It does flow in the fall, but it doesn't have the same sugar content, so people don't traditionally try to tap at that time. But it's those two times a year. You got to get below freezing at night and then into normally about the 40s during the day. So you think about that's coming in and out of winter.
Okay, cool.
First thing I think we're going to do, want the bugs. Did we decide? We keep the bugs?
No.
Okay. So we're going to do two strainings during our process of cleaning this up. There's going to be a rough strain, which we're just going to use a colander for. And we're going to do that now. And then there's going to be a final strain when we actually go to making this into syrup. So the nice strain, the easy strain, is going to take this and it's going to make it turn into a bug, pretty much bug-free thing. In there, we boiled it down and we made maple syrup from it. And you're going to see what this process does to maple syrup.
When and where did the process of making maple syrup originate? Who came up with that?
That's a great question. It's got origins in North America. Which Native American tribe figured it out first? I don't know if we've got that pinned down, but it's something that Europeans learned in the New World. It's something that we were unaware of. So we kind of were put underneath their wing and they showed us how to do this. So.
Okay, cool. So it's a North American thing right here in the U.S., huh?
You got it.
Okay. Is using sugar from maple syrup, is that better than or healthier than using plain white sugar? Does it depend?
Well, so white sugar is really, really refined. Mm-hmm. By the time you're into that process, if you look at what you're pulling, you're taking stuff from your native environment and you're consuming the sugar from that. So if you're thinking about it from stuff that's in the natural world that's around you, mm-hmm. you're getting something that's gone through much less processing. Okay. And it more represents your local environment. If you'd asked a doctor if there's a distinct difference, I don't know if they would say that you're going to gain from a medical thing if there's that distinct difference.
Okay. But that is cool that it's a natural, local thing, so.
But basically, in a big commercial operation, it would enter in on one side, sap, an hour later, it would be out of syrup. So they've got this running off of natural gas and it's burning and evaporating off very quickly in a four-chambered system.
What is the difference between homemade maple syrup and the kind you buy in the store? Is it pretty much the same, or?
If you look at the bottle, it's really quick and easy to find out. One's got maple syrup in it, and the other one's got corn syrup in it. And wow. So, yeah, if you come to a program at any place that they're making real maple syrup or you buy it from the store, all you have to do is pour it, and you can tell within a couple seconds. One's going to be more runny, more liquidy, and the other one is going to be more thick. And that thickness that we're all kind of growing up on is corn syrup. That kind of, so a lot of times when someone tries it for the first time, the flavor is different, but also even just the consistency, people will notice.
I'm just going to show you that maple syrups aren't all equal. They go from very light to a very dark, and what I'm changing about this is I'm changing how long I'm cooking it. The really valuable stuff is the really light stuff, and the less valuable stuff is going to be the dark stuff. So grade B is the darkest, and Vermont Fancy is the lightest. And so we can get different grades.
I think I prefer the natural stuff. We had a taste here, and that was pretty darn good.
Yeah. And like I said, the stuff that we produce at the park, we do it over wood smoke, so we get a little bit of wood flavoring in there. And we cook it for a long time, so ours tends to be, and you probably could tell when you tasted it, it wasn't necessarily super, super sweet, but it was definitely still sweet.
Right.
But I like that caramelization. I like that little bit more molasses flavor into it.
Okay. Cool. Are there special ways to store it? Do you have to put any preservatives in it, or how does that work?
Refrigerate it. That's the big of it. If you had it and you had made it all the way to maple syrup and then you opened it, you start your timeline of you need to be able to use it up within a couple of months and you need to keep it refrigerated. But a sealed container has got years of shelf life in it, especially if you decide to freeze it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool. So it lasts a long time.
It can last a long time.
Okay. Do you need a license or a permit to tap trees, or how does that work?
If you don't own the trees, there's a pretty good likelihood that you would. We actually had a question in an earlier program about tapping boulevard trees in a town. Oh. And it's like, oh, I've got maple trees between my sidewalk and the road. Right. Can I do that? And it's like, I would talk to your city forester and find out, you know, are they okay with that?
Right.
In a state park, it wouldn't be allowed. In a state forest, you can get a permit to do it. So there is a process to tapping those public trees. So it really depends on where you want to. If someone's interested in doing this and they don't have maples in their yard, though, and they have a neighbor that's got maple trees, just go talk to your neighbor. If you are going to give them maple syrup that, you know, right. you're going to invest all the time and they just get the benefit, I'm guessing that most neighbors are going to be pretty happy to make that trade.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think they would be.
and it lets you get to know your neighbors better. You know, maybe it's someone that you haven't spent as much time talking with. Maybe you can hook them.
Yeah, cool. If someone's interested in making their own maple syrup, where do you think they should start?
Well, you can definitely do a program like we did today and attend that and kind of get those questions out. The nice thing about maple syruping is it is something that a lot of people have passion for. So you can find tons of books on it. You can find videos on it. This day and age, you know, a Google search and a YouTube video will get you quite a bit of information. It's always nice to talk to somebody in person, though, because then you can ask those questions directly. Yeah. So your local nature center is always a great spot if you want to go see it in person and see what's really involved in doing it.
Okay, okay. What's your favorite part of making the maple syrup?
Now, most people would say eating it at the end.
Right.
But because we use wood fire to boil down and boil out our water content, and I love having a campfire, this is my favorite part.
Okay.
It's actually the processing. I like coming out, and every day as spring's coming, I get to come out and have a fire, which is kind of just peaceful.
Right.
So anybody that's a camper knows what I'm talking about. So
yep. As soon as I walked up to this, I thought, ooh, that smells great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us today. I'm here with Jeremy Darst, naturalist at Whitewater State Park, and thanks for being with us today.
And thanks for coming out today.
Thanks again to Whitewater State Park naturalist Jeremy Darst for joining us today on Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.